We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career.
I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Alrighty, alrighty, alrighty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Sunday. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station at the South Point Studios, at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in Las Vegas, and the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show on this Sunday as we wrap up another week of looking at the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style. Also want to welcome all of our listeners that may be listening on our local radio station here in town, our anchor station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, all of our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android, and Google. Of course, we got the apps there for your listening through the KSHP app and the watching and listening to us on the YouTube app. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to the Race Day Show for this Sunday. Interesting day of racing yesterday, that's for sure. Did we get the Derby picture any clearer? Well, if not so much clear, at least we got a few more horses that are rising to the top of this heap. And we have still more 100-pointers yet to go as far as the Kentucky Derby points races. Next week, we have three important Kentucky Derby point races that will hold 100 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard. That is, of course, the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct. We've got the Bluegrass at Keeneland, and we got the Santa Anita Derby at Santa Anita coming up next Saturday. Turfway Park, of course, closed last night in Kentucky, and now the racing scene in the Bluegrass State moves to Keeneland Racecourse. And Keeneland Racecourse, of course, will open on Friday, and they are loaded with a lot of stakes races, front-loaded for the Keeneland meeting. In fact, Friday there'll be a couple of stakes races to open up the Keeneland meet. As far as Florida is concerned, big day yesterday in the Florida Derby. Gulfstream Park closes its championship meeting today, which means that they have a carryover in the Pick Six jackpot, and it is a mandatory payoff today. A mandatory payoff in the Pick Six jackpot at Gulfstream Park as they close the championship meeting. Now, that doesn't mean racing stops at Gulfstream Park. They'll take a couple of days off, and they'll start next week on their other race meet, the summer, spring and summer race meet. But as far as the championship meet, it closes today. Mandatory payoffs on really everything, all the pools, and of course the Pick Six jackpot pool, which means the jackpot provision is off. Best tickets will chop up what's in the pot today, and what's ever left over from yesterday goes into the pot as well. One big, they think about maybe $2 million or so in the Pick Six jackpot carryover and mandatory payoff today at Gulfstream. As far as Southern California is concerned, Santa Anita kicks into high gear with the big Santa Anita Derby Day card on Saturday. Of course, Aqueduct, that hasn't run a stakes race in many, many weekends, will have a big weekend coming up on Saturday for the Wood Memorial and several other stakes races there. And of course, at Keeneland, as we say, at Keeneland, there'll certainly be a lot of stakes races coming up at Keeneland. As a matter of fact, looking ahead to Friday, Keeneland will have the Ashland Stakes for the three-year-old fillies. This important, a mile and 16th, the Ashland Stakes. That race should carry Kentucky Oaks leaderboard points. The Lafayette and the Transylvania are all opening day, three stakes races on opening day at Keeneland. But as far as a Saturday is concerned, when we get to Aqueduct, Aqueduct will have five stakes races that'll be headed up by the Wood Memorial. They'll also have the Distaff, the Carter, the Excelsior, and the Gazelle. The Gazelle, of course, for three-year-old fillies, and that will have some Kentucky Oaks ramifications as well. And then Keeneland, coming on Saturday at Keeneland, the Appalachian, the Commonwealth, the Madison Stakes, and the Bluegrass. Of course, the Bluegrass is the one with 100 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard, and the Shakertown Stakes there. And then at Santa Anita, we'll cut in there with five more stakes races that include the Echo Eddy, the Evening Jewel, the Santa Anita Oaks that holds leaderboard points for the Kentucky Oaks, and of course the Santa Anita Derby, which of course has Kentucky Derby points to it, and the Monrovia Stakes as well. So we got a big, we're getting into the heart of a lot of great stakes races as we begin our springtime on our road to the Kentucky Derby. Let's see what happened yesterday. All righty. By the way, I do want to mention that on Saturday as well, we're going to start early in the morning as far as racing is concerned, because the big Dubai World Cup racing card comes up on Saturday morning as well in Maidan Racecourse in Dubai. And of course, the Derby there has points as well for the Kentucky Derby. All right, here we go. Gulfstream Park yesterday. We'll start out, of course, highlighting the feature race, the Florida Derby. In the Florida Derby, the winner was Tappan Street, a solid winner, too. Came just off the pace to get the job done for Luis Saez's second win of the day, and trainer Brad Cox, the trainer there. 680 on the win there, and that was Jonathan Hardoon's pick on the show. So Jonathan got Tappan Street to win the Florida Derby. Sovereignty was a closing second, and finishing third in the race was Neocos, who finished third in that race. The Pick Six, by the way, several tickets had paid a little bit under $4,000, $3,900 and change. But earlier in the day, as far as the other stakes races were concerned, the Cutler Bay Stakes was won by Classic, of course, Frankie Dettori for Patrick Biancone, paying 15-20, outrunning Forged Control and I'm Due. In the Orchid Stakes, Beach Bomb wins it. Luis Saez's first win for Graham Motion, paying 5-20, outrunning Solvology and Liam Mahana, who finished third in that race. The fifth race, right in the middle of all of the action at Gulfstream Park, the early pick five paid $17, $20, $22, $15, $20, $5.20, the two stakes races. And the fifth race that completed the early pick five at Gulfstream Park yesterday paid $53.80. And you know it was a big payoff. How big? Biggest payoff of the day around the country, $68,392.20 in the early pick five yesterday at Gulfstream. They started another pick five in the sixth race, the Pan American, won by Farbridge. The favorite there paid $380 for Rosario and Christophe Clement. The Go Sapper Stakes was won by White Abario, who just disposed of the field as easy as you can be. White Abario, the huge odds-on favorite. Ired Ortiz Jr. aboard for Safi Joseph Jr. This was their first wins of the day. White Abario paid $2.10. Power Squeeze was second. Tuscan Sky was third. big winner of the eighth race. Listen to this. The eighth race winner, Ired Ortiz Jr.'s second win of the day for trainer Shug McGahee, paid $41.20. How do you get Ired on a $41 horse? Want to give a shout out to, by the way, to Track Phantom. The Track Phantom on his sheet yesterday had this horse as his best long shot of the day. So congratulations to Track Phantom out there. $41.20 for the winner in the eighth race at Gulfstream. Then we get back to the stakes races, the Gulfstream Oaks, Gulfstream Park Oaks, 100 points for the Kentucky Oaks, won by 5G. This horse went wire to wire under Manny Franco for George Weaver, paying $460 in the race. The other favorite in the race, the Queen's MG, was vanned off the racetrack. They said that she had an injury, but it was not life-threatening, so they say. Finishing second was Anne's Promise, and third in the race was Cassier. Then we move to the Sensibel Island. The winner there, Spirited Boss, Jose D'Angelo, Javier Castellón team up for that $26.40 winner, outrunning Candy Quest and Gavita, who finished third. In the Army Mule Stakes, Implementation wins that. Manny Franco again. Franco wins two stakes races in a row there at Gulfstream Park, picking up the catch mounts of the injured jockeys, Tyler Gaffleon and Junior Alvarado. Safi Joseph Jr.'s second win of the day there as well. Implementation paid $10.80, outrunning in Invalid, and in third was How Great It's Nate. How Great It Is Nate finished third in that race. The Sand Springs race was won by Moving On Up, who got a fantastic ride by Edgar Zayas on the rail to win, giving Safi Joseph Jr. his third win of the day. Set a new course record, an old new course record of 138 and 1/100 of a second. Beat the old time by 9/100 of a second. Moving On Up, paid $8.20, outrunning Five Towns and Breath Away. The Appleton was the 13th race at a mile on the turf. Seminole Chief wins that for Jack Sisterson and Dylan Davis, paying $9.40. That was Dylan Davis's second win of the day, outrunning Portofino, and finishing third in that race was Abrumar. Abrumar was third. The big favorite in the race, Major Dude, got caught in a little traffic trouble and never got up at all. And, of course, we rounded out with the Florida Derby when winner Tappan Street there. A big win, Luis Saez and Brad Cox. So Brad Cox, he's on his way to the Derby with the Florida Derby winner, and the Florida Derby is one of the most proficient prep races for Kentucky Derby winners. So keep that in mind. Oaklawn Park yesterday, the track started out muddy, but it got better fast throughout the day because it was sunny and nice after the rains went through. Francisco Arrieta had a couple of wins back-to-back. Second race winner paid $11.40. Third race winner paid $6 even. Flavian Pratt checked in with his first win of the day for David Jacobson in the fourth race, paying $16. Then came the stakes races. The Matron for fillies and mares, four-year-olds and up, was won by Hall and Ice. Hall and Ice went wire to wire, hauling Francisco Arrieta, his third win of the day, and Safi Joseph Jr.'s win as well. They're 880. This is an Arkansas bred that outran Almost Gone Rocket in that race, and the big favorite in the race never did fire. Almost Gone Rocket finished second in that one. Then we get to the seventh race, where David Jacobson got his second win of the day with Jose Ortiz paying $8 even. The Oaklawn Mile was the eighth race. Banishing, wins that. Flavian Pratt aboard for David Jacobson's third win of the day, paying $5.20, outrunning Saudi Crown, the big favorite in that one, and the Wine Stewart. Banishing and Saudi Crown dueled. It was a hell of a duel in the stretch, but Banishing got the best and wins it. Then we get to the Eclipse. In the Eclipse Stakes, the winner there, after the race was decimated by, it was a 10-horse field that wound up being a 5-horse field in the end, and after the scratches, and Wendelson won easily for Tyler Bacon. Remember, we were talking yesterday, Tyler Bacon lost his apprenticeship on Friday. His first day as a journeyman, he wins the stakes race, the Eclipse Stakes, for Chris Harmon, paying $3 even as the big favorite in that race, outrunning Ninja Warrior and Osborne. In the American Pharoah, winner there was Bishop's Bay. Flavian Pratt aboard for Pratt's third win of the day. Brad Cox, the trainer there, $4 even. There was an objection in the race for the and a debate about the finish because a horse bore out, but there was no change. Bishop Bay wins it. Pratt's third win, $4 even. Ben Doug was second, and finishing third was Full Screen. In the Fantasy Stakes for three-year-old fillies, giving 100 points to the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard, the winner there was Quiet Side. Jose Ortiz for John Ortiz, paying $3.20 as the favorite. This horse battled with Simply Joking. These two were the two favorites in the race, and they battled throughout the entire mile and 1/16th race. It was hell of a match race. Somewhere like 8 lengths back to the third horse, but Quiet Side won the duel. And again, 320 for the win, Simply Joking. Hell of a race to finish second. Running and Gunning was a zip code in third. Then we had the Arkansas Derby, the 13th and final race on the card. In this race, Sandman finally produced a winning effort, and he won it with panache, too. Sandman wins Jose Ortiz's third win of the day for trainer Mark Cassie. Sandman pays $9.40, although he also bore out in the stretch, but he was clear at the time. Sandman wins it. A publisher, that a maiden that I liked from the other race, Publisher ran second in the race, a nice closing second. Cole Battle, the fantasy, the Cinderella horse, really. Cole Battle finished third in the race, but all three of these horses ran great races in the Arkansas Derby. So Sandman for Mr. Mark Cassie is on his way to the Kentucky Derby. Other results from yesterday at Santa Anita, Bob Baffert and Juan Hernandez got together to win the San Carlos with Pilot Commander paying $2.80, outrunning For All Mankind and Spirit of Makina. Jerry Jackowicz came with a winner for us. Kanani wins the fourth race. Kyle Frey for Liberato Baraccio paying $13.60. Jerry Jackowicz gives us a $13.60 winner in the fourth race. And then in the sixth race, the Sirocco play came in. The winner, Lady Gregory, Hector Barrios aboard. Rich Eng's play there won the race and paid $4.20 for Jeff Mullins. John Lendo's pick over Attracted finished second. And so the Sirocco Exacta for a dollar paid $8.60, paid $17.20 for a $2 play there. The Sirocco play hits in the sixth race. The Wilshire Handicap was the eighth race on the card. Tripati wins that one for Umberto Rispoli. That paid $4 even for trainer Jonathan Thomas, outrunning Alpha Bella and Big Hug, who finished third. And the pick six was hit yesterday at Santa Anita with a single ticket. One winner got the whole pot, $45,340.40 yesterday at Santa Anita. But the handicappers came up big at Santa Anita as well. As far as Aqueduct was concerned, it was New York bred stakes, New York bred races all day long. They weren't stakes races, but there were New York breds, 11 of them yesterday. It wouldn't be a New York bred race day without Linda Rice winning a race, and she did. Her first winner came in the second race, paying $6.30 for Ruben Silva's first win. Silva came back in the third race at $3.60 as well. Jose Lascano had a couple of wins. $2.60 was his first winner in the fourth race. And then we got to the seventh race where Lascano and Rice got together to win their second race of the day. That one paid $3 even. You get the message. It was really kind of a chalky day. Although the last race winner made the pick six pay a little bit better. Jonathan Ardoon gave us a winner in the 10th race after they scratched down that race. It was ridiculous, man. They had like six scratches in the race in an 11-horse field. But in any case, Garouvin did win. Mr. Marat aboard. Romero Marat was the winner on that horse, paying $3.80. And remember, this horse was 7-2 on the morning line. got bet down all the way with all the scratches. But Ardoon gave us that winner, $3.80. And in the final race of the day, the winner paid $42.40, then made the pick six at least pay somewhat nice at $9,572. Remember, we told you at Turfway Park, they had that big pick six carryover. I'm sorry, the pick five, the late pick five carryover at Turfway Park yesterday was a big one. And since Turfway was closing day last night, it was a mandatory payoff. In that late pick five with the big carryover, the winning prices were $18.22, $10.40, $8 even, $9.82, and $15.72. Remember, they pay down to a penny. Five out of six in that pick five paid $8,115.80. They do pay off four out of five at in Turfway Park. The four out of five paid $66.38. And that's the way it went yesterday. Good day for our handicappers, and a great day, I think, for a lot of the Derby prospects yesterday. And we still have next weekend to go with more there. We're going to go to our first break, and we got our handicappers back, Jonathan Ardoon, Jerry Jackowicz, John Lindo, Rich Eng, and, of course, your racing menu yet to go. So don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Sunday. Looking ahead to Saturday now, a lot of Derby horses were on the track yesterday. The Southern California ones were anyhow at their final workouts for the Santa Anita Derby coming up, including Leaders Journalism and Citizen Bull. They had their final drills for the Santa Anita Derby. We'll get a little bit more on that when we get John Lindo on a little bit later. And Rodriguez, one of Bob Baffert's many Derby horses yet, he's going to be out of town. He's going out of town for his Derby prep. He's going to go either to the Keeneland race, the Bluegrass, or the Wood Memorial. We'll wait and see where he shows up there. And Eastern Avenue continues to his maintenance work for the Bluegrass. No rider named yet for Eastern Avenue. Remember, he was ridden by Tito Gaffalione, so we'll wait and see there. But he's getting ready for the Bluegrass Stakes on Saturday. It's going to be an interesting next Saturday as well for Derby prospects. But until then, we'll give you your racing menu for today. How about that? Here's the racing menu for today. I got to really, telling you about the weather before we get to the menu, though. Right now, it's 58 degrees out here in Las Vegas. We're going to get up to 77, but it's cloudy and windy out here. Really cloudy and windy out here. We're going to get some rain, I think, here in Las Vegas before it's over. Fast, firm, and perfect, always in the race and sports books. As far as the weather is concerned around the country, a lot of action going on. There's stuff going on all over. You got rain coming through California, Central California. May make it down to Los Angeles. We'll wait and see about that. We'll get that from John Lindo. Believe it or not, on this 30th day of March, we still have a lot of snow going on in the north and central plains areas. But as far as the Midwest going to East Coast, just a lot of rain going on. A lot of rain going on from the Great Lakes area all the way down to the panhandle of Florida. So we'll keep that in mind when we talk about racing conditions at the tracks around the country. As far as the temperatures are concerned, Miami's going to be 80 degrees for this closing day of the Gulfstream Championship meeting. In New York, 55 degrees. Chicago's got the rain and 69. Los Angeles, 64 with the possibility of rain. It might be raining in Southern California. Wait and see. Phoenix is bright and sunny and beautiful at 83, I should say. And again, here in Las Vegas, a chance of rain and 77 degrees. All right, here is now the menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook, simulcast centers, and racetracks around the country. Reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day are Pacific because they are the start times here in our Racebook today. We are in the Pacific time zone. If you're in any other time zone, adjust to it so you don't miss anything. Don't want you to miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go. You ready? We're going to start off with Tampa Bay Downs. It is Florida Bred Stakes Day at Tampa Bay Downs. There are 11 races there, and six of them are Florida state-bred stakes races. The sophomore for three-year-olds will be the fourth race on the card. The sophomore fillies will be the seventh. The Turf Classic will be the eighth. The Distaff will be the ninth. The Sprint will be the 10th, and the sophomore turf will be the 11th today at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has a first post time for their 11 races set at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock at Tampa Bay. They got a super high five carryover of $40,548. Wow. And that's their super high five carryover at Tampa Bay today. Wow. Pick six jackpot carryover stands at $6,862 and a first post time of Tampa Bay set at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. at Tampa Bay. Laurel Park is next. Now, Laurel Park is closing day at Laurel Park. So it is a mandatory payoff in the pick six jackpot carryover. That's $4,234. But again, it's a mandatory payoff at Laurel today. Seven races on this closing day and a first post time of 9:10. 9:10 at Laurel today. Mahoning Valley Racecourse, they have eight races today at Mahoning Valley. Mahoning Valley's first post time is set at 9:15. 9:15 at Mahoning Valley today. Then we go to Gulfstream Park's closing day of the championship meet. Now, Gulfstream Park, their pick six jackpot carryover, $288,448. $288,448 in the pick six jackpot carryover at Gulfstream. The jackpot provision is off. It is mandatory payoff today. That money and all the money that's dumped into the pool today will all be distributed, all out the door, with the best winning tickets. First post time in this closing day at Gulfstream Park for their 12 races is set at 9:50. 9:50, closing day, first post at Gulfstream Park. Aqueduct, the big A in New York. Aqueduct has a first post time of 10:10. 10:10 at Aqueduct. Tracks fast. They say it's cloudy and 45 degrees at Aqueduct. And a first post time today at the big A for their eight races set at 10:10. 10:10 is first post time at Aqueduct today. Oaklawn Park. They've got 10 races, a couple of stakes races today. The $200,000 Hot Springs at a mile for three-year-olds goes as the seventh race on the card. Gaming. Bob Baffert's Gaming is there today, unless they scratch him out. He might have took the plane along with the Cornucopian that ran yesterday. But he is there, at least entered in the race. He's in 9-5 as the morning line favorite in the Hot Springs Stakes, if in fact he goes. And that's the seventh race on the card. You have an overnight stakes race as the ninth race on the card and 10 races overall at Oaklawn and a first post time of 10:35. Sunland Park has all quarter horses today. Sunland Park has a first post time for 11 races at 11:25. 11:25 at Sunland Park today. Small pick five carryover of $1,382. A smaller super high five carryover of $4,094. First post time at Sunland, 11:25. Hawthorne Racecourse has seven races today. Hawthorne Racecourse has a super high five carryover of $1,587. Pick six carryover small there, $457. First post time at Hawthorne for seven races is at 12:30. Then we'll get to Santa Anita. 10 races today at Santa Anita and a first post time of 1 o'clock this afternoon, 1 o'clock at Santa Anita. We wrap it up with Los Alamitos in Southern California. Los Alamitos, of course, has a first post time of 5:30, 9 races, 2 third race, 3 mixed breed, 4 quarter horses, and they'll start it off at Los Al tonight at 5:30. And that is your racing menu for today. And now we're going to go to Jonathan Hardoon. I'll bet you he's got some interesting observations from yesterday. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my man. That Sirocco play came in, and you guys were good. You picked winners in both the Florida and the Arkansas Derby, as well as some of our other handicappers. So Sandman finally put it together at the Arkansas Derby, and Brad Cox has got his Derby horse from the Florida Derby.
He certainly does. The interesting thing about the race at Oaklawn, what the hell was Johnny Velez was doing on Cornucopian? Him and Bejarano, 22-45, really? I mean, did they really think they would have any chance of surviving that? I don't get it. It was a million-plus race, and that's what they do. They just go all out in the first half of the race, and they certainly took care of each other. By the way, Cornucopian ran super in defeat. He finished fourth after all that. He had every right to finish up the track, to be honest with you, Ralph. So I was just extremely surprised. I mean, Johnny V, Hall of Fame rider, supposed to be smarter than that.
Well, let's just put this in context, because we don't want to, you know, we only get one side of the story. The one side of the story is what we witnessed on the racetrack. Now, if Velasquez was riding to either instructions or the fact that he couldn't get Cornucopian back, it's another. Now, it didn't look like he was trying to fight Cornucopian. So maybe that was the plan. Maybe Baffert said, just send him out of the gate and let's see how far we can go. And if
step on the gas in career start number two, first time around two turns with a horse that you need points to get into the Derby. With all due respect, Ralph, I respectfully disagree with you.
Okay, then all I can say is, what the heck was he thinking?
Watching the race, if you bet on Cornucopia, and believe me, I like the winner, and I bet the winner. I mean, you just had to be sick.
You know, here's the thing. Cornucopian was the race favorite in the race, by the way. So the 50 or 60,000 people that were at Oaklawn Park, most of them had money on Cornucopian. So I can imagine what they were thinking when they saw that.
Yeah.
But in any case, there's an old saying, and it pertains more to harness racing, but it does apply to thoroughbreds as well. When you get a horse that is not experienced enough or fit enough to run extremely fast in a race, they call that corking a horse. And you don't know what's going to happen next with Cornucopian after that race, whether he comes back and he's really going to feel it being corked, or whether he can come back and be okay. We'll wait and see about that.
Yeah, well, first of all, again, it was only his second career start. So do you want to teach horses bad habits like that? The whole thing was just very surprising.
You know,
I'm not going to beat him up. What could I do? It happened, it's over with, and that's it.
John Lindo, he and I texted a little bit after that race, too, and John said that Cornucopian in the race that he won, you know, came from a little bit off the pace. So it looked like the horse could have come off the pace. So, yeah, I would imagine. I wonder if any of the the masses of reporters got out there and asked John Velasquez, you know, after I'm sure he cooled off. what was he politely saying? Did you what were you thinking?
But it was more, I don't blame him as much as Bejarano. He looked like he intentionally on the five went after him.
Yeah,
that's what
did.
It looked like
to me.
you know, Johnny V was inside the five and he was breaking from outside. The Bejarano on the five just, you know, after he made the lead, he had one intention to go after that horse. And that's what he did. He took care of both of them.
I will say Sandman shifted a lot in the stretch, but he was clear at the time. They're going to have to do something about that because, of course, when they were talking to him later, they said, well, you know, it's the first time they're probably, these horses have probably been in front of a crowd like that. The infield was full, and so was the grandstands. So he might have, when people started yelling, he might have got a roar from either side. So who knows? But in any case, it was a solid win by Sandman. He finally put it all together. And you're right. I think that Cornucopian ran a brave race in finishing fourth. And I got to tell you, Publisher came from last place again, and he was closing in, you know, on Sandman. So
watch the start of that race, Ralph. He had trouble. Yeah. He was forced to check back early after the break. And, yeah. You know, he's not going to be a maiden much longer, that's for sure. And he ran very well in defeat. He really did.
Your assessment of the Florida Derby, I thought it was a solid win by Tappan Street.
It was, and a terrific ride by Saez, breaking from an outside post like that. He found position early, and you know, and the runner-up, take nothing away from him, because we know he wasn't squeezed for that race. And you know, they wanted to get they wanted to give him another educational kind of race, and he picked up the pieces, and he'll be fine. You know, I take nothing away from that horse in the feed. He's still a contender, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think he's a horse that has to be contended with, and we'll wait and see. But this is getting interesting. The first half of the big two weekends of these 100-pointers now is starting to come into view, where we have you know, those horses, etc. We're still waiting for Todd Pletcher to see if he can get a horse in the Derby with a 100-pointer, but we'll wait and see next week. It's going to be real interesting next week, those three races.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will certainly preview those races as we begin our race day shows next week. But for today, we got some Jonathan Hardoon money that we're going to parlay into a few more winners today.
All right, Ralph. Let's look at it. By the way, it's overcast, drizzling in New York. Chance later in the day, but they should get the card through. It's not a pretty day there. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at the seventh race today. It's a mile on the main track, and I like the number two horse in here, Jerry's Out. This is a three-year-old colt from the Rudy Rodriguez barn. Source received Lasix two starts back for the first time, and he's run very well since getting the addition of Lasix. He's listed at 8-1 on the morning line. Ruben Silvera aboard to ride. I like number two, Jerry's Out, to win today's seventh race out at Aqueduct.
All right. The seventh race, number two, Jerry's Out, 8-1 on the morning line. Silva aboard. Had a couple of winners yesterday, that jock did. In the seventh race, the two at Aqueduct is your play. How about closing day at Gulfstream?
Let's go to race five, a mile and 70 yards on Tapita, and I like the number one horse in here, Nate the Great. This is a five-year-old gelding who was claimed out of his last race by trainer Marty Drexler. We get a rider switch today. Tyler Gaffleone, originally scheduled to ride. Obviously, everyone knows he's out with the broken ankle. Mm-hmm. So Rafael Hernandez is going to take the mount. This horse is listed at 8-1 on the morning line, has the advantage of breaking from the inside. First start from Marty Drexler. Number one, Nate the Great, 8-1 on the morning line, upsets and wins today's fifth race out at Gulfstream Park.
All right, the anchor race in the early pick five and early pick four at Gulfstream Park, the fifth race, the one, Nate the Great, the one in the fifth. By the way, they're not leaving Gulfstream Park. This is just the closing of the championship meeting. They're going to continue racing there. I guess Thursday is the next card there. And I guess this is the Calder meet, right? The meet that used to be
at Yeah,
I think this is the meet that used to be a Calder race course, which is coming up on Thursday. But today, we end the championship meet there at Gulfstream, and Irad Ortiz Jr. is just going crazy at that place, racking up more than, 10 winners in the last week to secure a runaway in the jockey standings. In the fifth race, the one is your play. Don't forget, mandatory payoffs today at Gulfstream. We're going to wrap it up at Santa Anita.
Well, we're going to look at the eighth race today, 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf course. Now, there is a chance of rain. I spoke to someone who actually texted me this morning and said it was raining there. Oops. So I'm not sure this race is going to stay on the grass. But even if it comes off the grass, I like the same horse in here, Ralph. I like number five, Tom Horn, a five-year-old from the Steve Miotti barn. Rider switched today to Flavian Pratt. Ran super down the hill last time out. Has races on the dirt good enough. 9-2 on the morning line. Number five, Tom Horn, wins today's eighth race out at Santa Anita.
We will get the latest from John Lindo on the weather down there. But yeah, it did look like on the, and especially here, we're going to get some of that rain before the day is out here as well. So in the eighth race, turf or not, doesn't matter. It's the Sensational Star Stakes, and he likes number five, Tom Horn. Five, Tom Horn in the eighth race at Santa Anita, rain or shine. Okay, don't forget, folks, he's got sheets, full sheets, handicapping sheets for Santa Anita, for Aqueduct, for Gulfstream, and for Oaklawn Park as well. He did four tracks again today. Jonathan, we'll just take a rest after today, and we'll gear it up for Wednesday. How about that, my man?
Thank you, Ralphie. Stay safe and be well.
You got it. Okay, and we'll be back with the Rich Eng. Don't go away.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas' top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show. Every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge, The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, we'll be checking on the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks leaderboards on Wednesday when all the dust settles. But I will tell you this, that the two horses that won the derbies yesterday are on the top now. Tiztastic has 119, so he's on top. He did not obviously win yesterday. Sovereignty is second with 110, as well as Tappan Street. Tappan Street got 100 points for yesterday. He's now with Sovereignty at 110. Final Gambit is at 100, and of course, we'll wait and see about the others, but the two horses that won yesterday, Sandman and Tappan Street, are now in the top five with 100 or more points for the Kentucky Derby. It'll all change next week again, though, with the big three races coming up next week. Let's go out to Rich Eng standing by. Good morning, Richie.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Any thoughts about the two Derby races yesterday?
Yeah, well, the old adage, pace makes the race. I heard you guys talking about the Arkansas Derby. You know, when they ran about a quarter of a mile, I was thinking the horse that I liked, the Publisher, was getting a perfect setup. But so did Sandman, and they ran 1-2. But you could tell, I mean, the discussion you and Jonathan had, I have to agree with you, Ralph. The jock, John Velasquez, had to be riding to instructions because he is a Hall of Fame jockey. Mm-hmm. He's got a high IQ in the saddle, yeah. And that was a crazy speed duel, but that set it up for everybody else.
That was suicidal. And by the way, Publisher, he closed more than any other horse, including the winner, Sandman. Sandman was a lot closer to that pace than Publisher was. Publisher was in the other zip code, and he did that in his first race, too. He was dead last, and he ran an admirable race. I think he's going to improve over time. But nevertheless, you know, we're coming up. Keeneland will start on Thursday, and I know that you usually do a Keeneland sheet. Are you this year?
Oh, yeah, yeah. For the last 7 or 8 years, I've done the Kentucky Keeneland and the Kentucky Downs as a bonus along with my Southern California handicap. So I'll have two sheets in April, Santa Anita and Keeneland.
All right. Well, we got Keeneland going on Thursday, and Santa Anita will kick in, of course, on Friday for their big weekend with the Santa Anita Derby highlighting their big weekend of stakes races. We're down to the Elite Eight now. The final two teams will be decided today to make it to the Final Four. And so what do we have today for college hoops?
Well, we'll call it the Elite Six since two of them got knocked out yesterday, Ralph. And my heart and my wallet are in two places today because my last future book bets are with Houston at the $5.50 to one and with Michigan State at 45 to one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give out Michigan State plus 4.5. You know, the thing about Auburn's win over Michigan the other day was the fact that Michigan had a 9-point lead with 12 minutes to go, and then the cookie crumbled. They just completely fell apart. I think Izzo and Michigan State have a chance to hang in there a lot stronger late and maybe even pull off the upset. Tom Izzo against Bruce Pearl. Let's go with Tom Izzo and Michigan State.
All right, Michigan State plus 4.5 over Auburn. You just think that Auburn's not going to polish off the entire state of Michigan today, right?
True.
All right, you got it. You're right. The Elite Eight, half of them are gone, so it is two more teams to be determined for the Final Four that will happen next Saturday. In the meantime, we get to horse racing, and you got a pick for us at Santa Anita after that winner in the Sirocco play yesterday.
Yeah, race number six is 6.5 furlongs on the turf course, the main special weight race. And the horse that I'm giving out is number seven, King Stephen. This is going to be turf or dirt. If they do take it off, I think I'll stay with them as long as Hector Barrios is riding for John Sadler. This horse should improve second start. Number seven, King Stephen, race eight. Or race six.
All I can say, if this horse is on the turf, Hector Barrios has been just absolutely a terror on the turf. He did that again yesterday. So for today, if it stays on the turf or not, it doesn't matter. The sixth race, Richie likes the seven King Stephen. The seven King Stephen in the sixth race at Santa Anita is Richie's playoff of that winner yesterday. And don't forget, he has a full sheet of Santa Anita right now, the racedaylasvegas.com website. Richie, can't wait to get started with you next week. And we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we're going to go right to John Lendo standing by. I'm going to blow off that last commercial to give John a little bit more time because I need to know, John, from you. Good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Your assessment of the two Derby races yesterday?
Well, I don't know what we learned out of the Arkansas Derby with a crazy pace like that. The winners kind of had to come from far back, and that's what they did. I don't know what Rafael Bejarano and Johnny Velasquez were thinking, but you know, for two veteran riders, that was pretty amateurish. And so I honestly don't know what to make of that race yet. They didn't come home fast. The last 8th and 13 had changed, so it wasn't anything fancy. And as far as the race at Florida, Tapan Street moved forward like we thought he would. He ran good, and he's a big, heavy horse that I only think is going to get better with more racing. And Sovereignty did what he had to do. He didn't have to win that race. He wanted to see him run well. He did from a bad post, and we'll see if Alvarado comes off injury in time to ride him back in the Derby, but I think he'll move forward out of that race as well.
Well, now we turn our attention to next Saturday where the Santa Anita Derby will be held, and a lot of the Derby horses for Santa Anita had their final workouts yesterday morning. Journalism went a nice 101.40, and of course Citizen Bull posted his final drill as well. And you had some others, and it looks like the probable field for the Santa Anita Derby looks like Journalism, Citizen Bull, Barnes, Baeza, and the maiden Westwood.
Well, you know, John Sherris will enter Westwood. They're trying to get six in that race because, you remember, if you have a field of less than six, then the Derby qualifying points go down by 25%, and all those points are important. So the guys that are trying to get the horses in the Derby may try and fill that field, at least get it to a number of six. It's going to be a small field, though.
And any of the workouts yesterday for these horses that piqued your interest?
I thought, you know, Journalism's kind of just in maintenance mode now, so nothing fancy from him. Mm-hmm. You saw Citizen Bull flash his speed yesterday, so he's going to the lead. And Barnes is going in the Santa Anita Derby. We were wondering where he was going. So those two will have to avoid hooking up on the front end. I would assume Citizen Bull will be the front runner there. And they enter today for the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct. We'll see if Rodriguez shows up there, or if not, he'll probably be entered Tuesday in the Bluegrass at Keeneland for next Saturday.
Yeah, he went 59 3/5 seconds in the workout yesterday, along with a Citizen Bull. Okay, John, I want to thank you for your contribution to the Scirocco play yesterday. And I want to remind everybody today that the Linda Report for today is available right now here at the South Point. And you also have a pick six Linda Report for Gulfstream today as well, both here at the South Point free of charge.
Right. There's that mandatory payout today with the end of the champions meet. Mm-hmm. So that's a 20-cent wager with the mandatory payout. If you're going to play the Rainbow Six, the days like today are the days you play.
All right, let's get picks.
12th and final at Gulfstream Park in that 12th race, number 7, Bohaka Blessing. Only turf start, had all kinds of trouble and ran well. Comes off a race on the Tapita, gets back on turf, gets Lasix for the first time. Any kind of better trip, this horse is live at 6-1 on the program. If it rains and comes off, he can handle Tapita. So any surface, race number 12 at Gulfstream, number 7, Bohaka Blessing.
All right, 12th race, Gulfstream, the 7 horse there. And at Santa Anita, what's the weather right now? What does it look like?
Track is open. They're working on the main track, so there isn't any rain to speak of. We might get a drizzle or two, but I think we're going to be in good shape. We'll be fast and firm, as far as I can tell, for this afternoon.
All right. We'll get a pick from you for Santa Anita. Let you go.
8th race today. I'm on the same horse as John Hardoon. I loved Tom Horn's comeback race. Powered home down the hill last time. Unbeaten on the grass. Rider switched to Flavian Pratt. He's the horse on the way up. A lot of these are kind of stuck in neutral. So 9-2 in the program, number 5, Tom Horn, race 8, Santa Anita.
Dirt or turf?
I prefer turf for him.
Okay, so we got a good housekeeping handicapping seal of approval. Two handicappers, Jonathan and John, both land on Tom Horn in the 8th race, the featured sensational star. John, we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Good luck today, Ralph.
You got it, my man. And now we go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
Are you talking on the phone there?
Just one second.
Are we? Listen to this. We're bothering him?
I can't take this now. Call back.
Okay. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Let's get your picks then. By the way, thanks for the winners yesterday.
Okay, you're welcome. We had a nice V horse yesterday as well.
And I mentioned that at the top of the show, and if you were awake, okay, you would have known that. Go ahead.
There were plenty of viewers. No big deal.
Okay,
go ahead. All right, let's go. Let's go to Aqueduct. Let's go to the first race. The 8th race. Number 1, Command Performance from Oscar Barrera III. 10-1. Kind of an attractive looking horse going up in company. The last two races are really kind of nice. Run really well for Hernandez. That's M.O. Hernandez. So we'll take the 1, win in place. Play the 1 with the 3, 5, 6, and 9. Reverse 3, 5, 6, and 9 over the 1, but the 1, Command Performance in race number 8.
All right, Jerry, in the 8th race, you're not going to get the 10-1 because there's 2 scratches in the race. Scratch the 3, Ice Road, and the 7, Centavo. The 3 and 7 are out. However, he will be a decent price, and he is the feature play and a star horse on your sheet. So in the 8th race, you like the 1, Command Performance. The 1, now over 5, 6, and 9. 5, 6, and 9 over the 1. The 1 in the 8th at Aqueduct. All right, we'll go to Santa Anita.
Yeah, let's go to the final race there as well. We'll go to race number 10. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll be strutting, because we're going to take strutting.
Okay.
Michael McCarthy and Ricardo Gonzalez. As it happens, that little combination won the last race at Santa Anita yesterday, so we'll see if Lightning can strike twice.
All right.
I'll take the 6, strutting over the 1, 7, 8, and 10. Reverse 1, 7, 8, and 10 back over the 6, but the 6, it's 2-1 or better. I like a lot.
All right, 10th and final race, number 6, strutting the 6. Link-ups are 1, 7, 8, and 10, and reverse the 6 is the play in the last at Santa Anita. Don't forget, full sheets with the Vs, the Ps, the stars, and all that other stuff available. Jerry J's Power Pages for Santa Anita and Aqueduct available right now at jerryjspowerpage.com. And all I could say, folks, is we'll be back on Wednesday to take a look at the Derby Trail as it now moves to the big 3 races with the Wood Memorial, the Bluegrass, and the Santa Anita Derby. And for Jerry Jackowitz, we'll let him go because he has to answer his phone. But one more thing to say, one more thing to say, Jerry, go ahead and say it.
Sorry about that. Have a great race day, everybody.